Welcome to the Middle East Report, your connection to truthful reporting on Israel and the Middle East. I'm John Riley. Each week, we try to connect you to the people, places, and geography of what you read in the Bible. And of course, we bring you current events of what's happening in the land of Israel as well. Today is an incredibly special program because we are going to do our best to connect you to the geography there in the land of Israel, the archaeological things going on there in the land of Israel, with two individuals who I think are kind of like Indiana Jones when it comes to discovering new things in the land of Israel. They just happen to live in the land of Israel. They are both Israelis. They love Jesus. Their videos have been seen over 70 million times all across the world. They go into all these archaeological places and they just uncover so many amazing things. I am talking about Sergio and Rhoda, and so many of you listening today have seen their videos. It is a delight to have both of you here on the Middle East Report.
Thank you so much for having us. What an honor to be here.
Well, both of you do these incredible videos that, as I mentioned, you know, 70 million plus people have seen, and they're so professional. And you go into all sorts of places in Israel and discover all of these archaeological things that I didn't even know, people didn't even know. Tell us a little bit about you and what you guys do, your heart there in the land of Israel.
Honest truth is, we don't know about this place. In fact, we grew up in Israel. We were always there. And growing up there, we didn't know those places are right in our backyard. Sometimes we would walk over the quarry where it's believed Jesus' father could have quarried stones for his workshop was right in our backyard. And I walked over that hill my entire life and we didn't know that until just a few years ago when it was found and our minds were blown away. We started this YouTube channel about 8 years ago, I think 2017 or so, 16, 17, and it was really, we didn't plan for it.
No, not at all. And it wasn't until we started reading the Bible that we appreciated what we had and what was in our land that we have missed all this time. And we were like, oh man, we gotta go and see this. We gotta go and see this. And I wanna see this. And so it wasn't until we had this love for the Bible and wanted to read it that we loved going to these places and exploring them.
You know, isn't it amazing that we read the Bible and then we hear about all of these places in the Bible, these physical places that the Bible talks about, and then we just kind of move on. But there's so many deeper things that happen when we go into the archaeological area, and it just, to me, it kind of just makes the Bible explode into even more life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's basically the reason why we do this, because, you know, like in David and Goliath's story, we got a chance to go to the Valley of Elah, which is an unbelievable place. It's not too far from Jerusalem, not too far from Bethlehem. In fact, you can see Bethlehem from that valley. It's kind of surreal. And we go there because we had a question. The question, when reading the story of David and Goliath, there's this part where Goliath is calling out to the Israelites to come bring their champion to fight him. And I'm thinking, okay, you got these two military, imagine modern day military. You got one military and another, the enemy on the other side. So if they're so close that they can hear each other, wouldn't they just kill each other right away? They have archers, they could hit each other with archers and the war would be done. So if they're far enough where they can't hurt each other with archers, then how could the Israelites hear Goliath, or how could the Philistines hear the Israelis reply back? It made no sense to me. I know the Bible is right. I know it's true. It's a story. But how? I couldn't picture it. It didn't make sense until we went there.
It's amazing. And you go to all these places and you bring those people that view your videos deeper into the areas that you just shared. It's not like you go there and say, well, this is, you know, where David and Goliath fought. You all do incredible research into these areas. And let's go a little bit deeper into the David and Goliath site. What are some of the things that you've discovered that maybe like, I didn't know this, but I did the research. We found this there in the Valley of Elah there in Israel.
Yeah. So one of the biggest question was this, to answer this question, how could they interact with each other without hurting each other? So there's got to be a distance. But what about the sound? Could they even see it? So we went there. We drove down there. It was exciting for us because our first time in our lives, even though we grew up in Israel, it's the first time in our lives that we are actually at that valley, because nobody really goes there except tourists. And so when you grew up there, you're like, you know, it's so close, you have time to go, until you start reading the Bible and you love the Lord, you love the Bible, and you go like, I want to understand this better. So we went there And we did this test. So Rhoda was the Israelites, and I was the Goliath. And so as a Goliath, I went down to the valley where the Goliath and the Philistine would have been. And there was a river that separated the two armies. So that already first clue, okay, so there's a river separating them. Now that makes sense because Goliath's and Philistine's forces to cross the river, that would explain why one army wouldn't attack the other right away, because whoever crosses the river first would be at a disadvantage. Think about it. Crossing the river, you're wet, it's mud, and it's just you're going to slow down. The other force could take advantage. So that's already clue number one. Clue number two is we did this test. I stood far in the valley, and Rhoda, where were you?
I was on the mountain where the Israelites would have been. And just to clarify, in children pictures, you see David is right there in front of Goliath, and you have this image in your head that the armies are close, but the area is big. They're not close. They have a river and a valley dividing them, and each one is on this hill. So I was standing on the hill that would have been the Israelite side.
Yeah, and then basically the test was, could Rhoda hear me if I scream out like Goliath, hey, come fight me. And so I was in the valley and I started screaming, not too loudly actually. And then to my surprise, Rhoda could hear me. And then to my even bigger surprise, when Rhoda replied back and with her sweet voice, I could hear her. We could talk to each other from across the valley. And I went even farther. I went all the way to the road with had cars going by, which they wouldn't have back in the day. And we could hear each other clearly. The camera ran out of zoom. I couldn't even zoom in anymore. I had to apply digital zoom to see where I stand that far. I can tell you the distance in the video revealed the distance, but it was quite astonishing. And that totally, all of a sudden, it all clicked like, wow. So not only they were separated by a river, they had a valley between them, but they could also easily communicate. And the reason why this happens is because the mountain behind the Israelites and the mountain behind Goliath, it acts like an amphitheater where it amplifies the sound of your vocal cords and it just amplifies and it sends it forward. And the exact same thing we experienced in Galilee, in the place where Jesus spoke to the 5,000 and the 4,000 when he gave the Sermon on the Mount. You wonder, how could he speak to such a multitude? How is it even possible they would hear them? Anybody hearing this, yeah, that sounds like a fairy tale, and it's not. The exact same amplification of the voice, we did the exact same test in Galilee by Bethsaida, by Capernaum, and it's unbelievable how well you can hear at a distance.
And while we believe that the Bible stands on its own, and we believe it, and we believe everything that it says is truthful, as Sergio said, sometimes you want to make sense behind it, and you want to explore these things and test them out. And we've heard of people making the decision to follow Christ because of that, because of the confirmation of these things. So that's just incredible to us, because we always thought, oh, you know, you're used to the story, you hear it, and you just believe it, you don't think about it. But some people think about these things, and it's important to them to know that they are real, to know that they are true, and to be tested. So we just thank the Lord. It was such an exciting day for us. It was really amazing.
I want to encourage you to please go and check out their YouTube page. Those of you who are listening today, not only will you have a little entertainment as you watch these videos, because they're so much fun to watch. You're going to get that, of course, but you are going to get the Word of God. They do their research. They're going to take you to all kinds of places in the land of Israel. But you can go there because Sergio and Rhoda have been there. They have done the research. They've been to the archaeological sites there in the land of Israel, like what we're talking about, and these different biblical places there in the land of Israel. So please, I want to urge you to subscribe to their YouTube. You are going to learn so much about the different biblical sites there in the land of Israel. So you can do that on YouTube. Again, they've got over 70 million views, and they've got over 600,000 subscribers. You can add your name to those subscribers, and you will be glad that you did. So there's David and Goliath. That's one Bible story. Let's tackle another one. Let's look at the Temple Mount. So those who are listening right now, Sergio, hear about the Temple Mount. They don't really know what that is. They don't know what's, maybe some may know what's on it, but talk about the Temple Mount, what you guys discovered, and for people who don't know, you know, what that is or where that's at.
Wow, that was one of the most memorable days of our lives, to go up to the Temple Mount. I mean, we read about it in the Bible. The Temple Mount is where most scholars, almost everybody believes, is where the temple stood, the first temple and the second temple. There's some disputes. There's some theories where it's exactly at. Some say it's by the city of David. Some say it's, the Temple Mount today is the garrison where it was, the Roman garrison. But then there's another theory. It's a little bit more north. But no matter where you place it, it's about just a few hundred yards away from each other. Even some people believe it's in the city of David, that's like right there in its footsteps. So it's the area. We know the area. Nobody disputes the area. It's right there. And we got a chance to go up there for the first time in our lives, not that long ago, just a few years ago. And we wanted to share it with our viewers. We wanted to film. Well, the problem is you can't just take a camera and film. It is a very restricted. Would you say restricted?
Yes, I would say it's very restricted and limited.
Yeah, so when you go up there, you have to go through the security, a long security hallway where they brief you what you can do, what you cannot do, and basically say, keep it to yourself. They told us, don't hold hands. Yeah, because it's basically right now today, it's run by the Waqf. It's a Muslim site. It has the Dome of the Rock. It has the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Did I say that right?
So, yes, you did.
So Rhoda, by the way, she was born, raised in Nazareth, and she speaks Arabic. We can talk about it more soon. But anything that comes to Arabic and the proper pronunciation, that's Rhoda's expertise. Al-Aqsa Mosque. So we get up there and go through the security briefing, and then you have to wear a shawl, obviously to respect the Muslim place there. And we get in, and because we can't film with a big camera, they said, well, yeah, it's like, can I just do like camera, my iPhone, just pictures and videos? They're like, oh yeah, sure. So we take the iPhone and we film the whole process. And it was unbelievable because that area is kind of untouched. We were, I mean, you just go up there and there are some exposed rocks from the second temple period. And you're thinking, I'm stepping on the actual stones that Jesus would have stood on. And that's just mind blowing. And then you go a little bit deeper under it and you're thinking, first temple period. You're thinking, and then you go farther back before the Israelite kingdom, and you're thinking Abraham was on the same mount, Mount Moriah, about to sacrifice his son. So it just blows your mind as you're there, and it's all too much to absorb. So it was a very, very amazing day. And there are some incredible discoveries there that they found that most people have no clue. You just don't hear about this. And it only came out from like deeper research that we got to share and look into. Unbelievable stuff.
What were some of those discoveries that you're talking about? Maybe just one or two or however many you want to share.
Well, a lot of it, we also have to thank the Sifting Project. So when some excavations happened there that were illegal by big excavators, but it came as a blessing in disguise because they dumped all that excavated material outside the Temple Mount. And I say that because it is illegal to excavate in the Temple Mount. So for the archaeologists in Israel, this was a golden opportunity to go look through that, sift through that dump that they've dumped there. And they found tile from the time of Solomon the king. They found wooden fragments, pottery, coins from the temple periods. I mean, it is nailed about the location of this place. It is just incredible what they have found, and they have done amazing work to find all these things and bring us these things from the times of the kings of Israel, which is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, that is an amazing project led by Dr. Gabriel Barkai, who his team done something very, very interesting. This is one of the most exciting finds that we were able to dig out. So we went into the archaeological archives before the establishment of Israel, where you could actually still go to the Temple Mount. And when they were doing some construction and stuff, they dug out something. We found this document, old document. You see those copies of it. And it basically says, a few decades ago, before the establishment of Israel, there was this earthquake. And the roof of the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, on the Temple Mount collapsed. When the roof collapsed, they said, okay, we're going to reconstruct the roof. But in order to build a new roof, they had to build new pillars, reinforce them. So they opened up some of the floors. They had to remove some of the old roof fragments. So when they opened up the floors, they found an older layer of floors dating to the 5th century. And then they found Byzantine church mosaics. So all of a sudden, we're realizing, okay, under the Al-Aqsa Mosque, before it was built in the 7th, 8th century by the Muslims, there is a Byzantine church. and a floor plan of the church with mosaics. And then the roof fragments that they removed, apparently the wood wasn't something they brought in new to build Al-Aqsa Mosque, but it was reused from wood fragments that were found on the site of the Temple Mount, original wood. And so they said, let's take a little sample. So they took all those wood from the collapsed roof and they put them aside like a pile of trash. And then the team, Dr. Gabriel Barkai, said, hey, I know we can't excavate, but what if we take a little sample of this wood? So they took a sample, and there's this method called endocrinology where they take a sample of the wood, and it's really accurate. They count the rings of the wood, if it's just a tree branch, and based on the rings, they can tell you what year, pretty accurately, that piece of wood or that tree was cut at, based on the rings. So they dated that to the first and second temple period. Original wood cedar wood. So does that ring a bell? Cedar?
Yeah, it definitely rings a bell because that cedar came from Lebanon. It was floated down the Mediterranean into the port of Jaffa there in the land of Israel. And that is what was used by King Solomon to build that very first temple there, right there on the Temple Mount. So you're telling me that this wood is dating back to that time. That's amazing.
It's hard to believe, but that's what they found. This is the actual research. These are professionals. They're doing all this survey. It's unbelievable. So we were shocked too from this research, and we just wanted to share it with the world. And we have all these pictures of the wood fragments and everything. And there's so much more, but we would probably spend hours here talking about it.
You see, here is why I wanted to have these guys on the Middle East Report as you're listening today, because you're not going to get this kind of in-depth information about things that, you know, you'll hear about archaeological stuff all over, you know, YouTube, but not what Sergio and Rhoda do when they literally do the research, they talk to the experts, and they have all of these professional videos that are fun to watch, that are filled with information that you're not going to get anywhere else. They do all the research. They talk to all of the experts. And so that's why I want to urge you to please subscribe to their YouTube channel. Get on their YouTube channel. They've got tons of videos for you and your family to watch. And these are videos that are going to help you grow in your faith, grow in your love for the Word of God, grow in your love for the land of Israel. And I just want to encourage you, please go to YouTube. All you got to do is search for Sergio and Rhoda Israel. You'll find it there. They're all over. They've got millions of views and, again, over 600,000 subscribers on YouTube, and you can watch their videos. Well, that's exciting. We need to move on to maybe one other area. We might get to another area. Let's talk about Bethsaida right now. Where is Bethsaida, and why is that significant, and what did you guys do there in that location there in Israel?
What if I told you that this recent discovery of Bethsaida, which was the last lost city of the Gospels, is reshaping what we know today about the Sea of Galilee? First of all, it's our favorite place to go to, the Galilee region. When Rhoda and I feel a little bit overwhelmed, that's where we go. We just go to relax, to the Sea of Galilee, to the Golan Heights, to Upper Galilee. It's most peaceful place. When you're there, there's not much construction since then. You go to Jerusalem and everything is just built on top of each other. You need to go about 12 feet underground to get to the layers of, you know, the Second Temple period. In Galilee, what you see is what Jesus saw back then. So you're basically placed in the same environment as the disciples were when they walked with Jesus. So that's why it's so special for us. And Bethsaida is in the heart of it. So you got the Sea of Galilee. In the north of the Sea of Galilee, there's Capernaum, there's Chorazin, and then there's Bethsaida. Now, archaeologists thought they found Bethsaida 40 years ago in the 70s, and it's about like 2 kilometers or like a mile away from the sea, which never made much sense because it was supposed to be a fishing village. So the assumption was the Sea of Galilee was much higher in the time of Jesus. It was, I mean, but higher, we're talking, they thought it was like 400 feet higher, like much larger lake. Well, it happens to be that it actually was the exact same as it is today, which is rewriting the geographical books of Israel. The universities actually have to rewrite it because they discovered just a few years ago a city right on the shore of today's shoreline, a Roman city. And then we start digging. They found an inscription that commemorates this church they found and the city to Peter, the apostle Peter. and Peter was from Bethsaida. That was his hometown. So they put two together, and then they have some historical documents and evidence that points that this is the city of Bethsaida. And here we go. This is one of the biggest discoveries of the past decade. It's all over the news. Bethsaida, the El Araj, E-L-A-R-A-J site, because the other Bethsaida, the older one was found, has a different name. Yeah, and some of the stuff they discovered there, they found, are absolutely mind-blowing. We were there a few months ago filming, and we come to the site, and we follow Dr. Hiako Intovor, a very good friend of ours, and he gives us a tour, and then suddenly, now we need to be careful what we share, but suddenly we hear somebody scream a certain word. We can't share what they found, but they scream, and it's like, we found something. And everybody rushes and runs towards that person who's digging. And we're rushing with our camera, we're all running, everybody's screaming, we're looking, and everybody's jaw drops. A find of a century, Hia says, this, you know, an archaeologist is blessed to find something like this in his entire lifetime. It is mind-blowing. We can't share what it is, unfortunately, because they need to publish it. That's how it works. It's not so simple. You can't just, you know, find and immediately put it on YouTube or TikTok. They have to publish it because this is a academia. And this is not just, you know, you find that you just claim whatever you want. You got to date it. You got to go through all known methodologies and methods of archaeology according to the academia books. And then they have to publish it. Once they publish it, we'll be able to release this video. But it's upcoming. We can't wait. They're about to finish publishing. Maybe in a few months, we'll get that published.
And there's nothing I can do on the radio here to try to twist you a little bit to tell us what it is?
Our lips are sealed.
That's what I figured. I want everybody who's listening to understand what you are saying, Sergio. This site, Bethsaida, this is the hometown of so many fishermen. Okay, and this site right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Now, there is another place there in Israel, as you mentioned, just a few miles away that, you know, is also named Bethsaida. But I want people to understand that this site that I'm talking about, you have to go up a mountain, okay? You have to go up a hill quite a ways to get to this Bethsaida. And it's not even there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. So biblically, it just wouldn't make sense. Why would you be way up on a hill somewhere if it's a fishing village and you've got all these disciples that are fishermen?
Yeah, well, the idea was to reconcile that problem is, well, the lake was much higher. Well, if it was much higher, then how could you have a whole city at the current shore level today, which is what they found? And they found another one, Magdala, with a synagogue dating to the time of Jesus, which, believe it, Mary Magdalene is from. So a lot of cool discoveries are telling us that the Lake of Galilee today is the exact same level as it was in the time of Jesus, which is interesting coincidence because it wasn't always like this. Israel, there was droughts, there was all kinds of stuff, and today we're about the same level as the time of Jesus. So what you see today is what Jesus would have seen there.
You know, it's all amazing, and this is what you will get when you subscribe to Sergio and Rhoda on their YouTube channel. Can I just encourage you to please do that? You are going to be informed. You're going to be instructed. You're going to laugh. You're going to be entertained, all of that. But you are going to receive a deeper understanding of God's Word. You're going to be challenged to go deeper into the Word of God because of the work that they do. This is their heartbeat. This is what they want you to do. They want you to go deeper into the Word of God. That's why they go to all these sites there in Israel. And they've got dozens of videos for you to watch. They're all free. You can go to their YouTube site, Sergio and Rhoda Israel. You'll find that on their YouTube site. We just have just a couple of minutes left. I want you to challenge people who are listening right now. They love the Word of God. Why is it important to really study the Word of God and to go deeper? It's great to read the Word of God. We want to do that. But why is it important for people to go deeper than that when it comes to reading the Word of God?
Well, why do you eat every day? It's the food to your soul. It's what gives you strength. It's what keeps your mind clear and keeps you walking the right direction. And it's what helps you give place for the Holy Spirit to lead your life. And if you are not going into the Word of God, you're not getting to know God, because He is His Word is His manifestation, and it's so important. And you also read about all these just wonderful places that Jesus was, that Abraham was, and all these characters we read about in the Bible. It's just so special. I don't know how a person can go a day without it and be okay in their life and in their decisions.
Yeah, see, the reality is that we weren't always following the Lord. In fact, up until 15 years ago, well, we got married. We were like, oh, we're in love. We weren't following the Lord. We kind of went back into the world. And our lives, we got to the lowest point of our lives where I pick up the phone to a very trusted friend who seemed like he's got it all figured out. And I was like, Chuck, what should I do? I mean, our marriage is not doing well. Nothing's going well in my life. And I want to follow the Lord. I don't know how. And he said, so open the Bible. Okay. I think I've started the book of John. He's like, start reading. And he just told me, keep reading. And I start reading and I kept reading and reading. And then he's like, he's just there with me on the phone as I read. And then as I read through the words of Jesus, I start weeping. I start feeling so ashamed and like, wow, I just don't deserve anything. I'm a really bad person if I want to live up to the standard of Christ. And then I get to the grace. And then he just hangs up the phone and says, keep reading. I'll call you in a few. Just keep reading. And I keep reading for a few hours. And I get to Romans and I get to the grace which is found in Christ Jesus. And it's like all the burdens lifted from my shoulders for the first time in my life. I've been to church. I've heard this message before. But when it comes from the lips of another, it's not as impactful when it comes from the very mouth of the Lord in the very word that he's given us. And like Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and active, and it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It can literally go through you and penetrate and cast and put every filth, every bad thought, every negative activity, every sin you've ever done. It all pushes it out. And it gives you a new life. And for the first time, I felt like a new creation in Christ. I'm a new man in Christ, and I was set free by the blood of Jesus. And when you spend that time in the Word, I kept reading for days, for a week. I read the Bible throughout the first week and then kept reading it over and over again. And I can't stop since then. Not because I have to, but because it's so exciting. Imagine you get married, you fall in love, and you just want to learn about the person. You go on a date, you ask about your spouse or future spouse, and you ask her or him, and you ask, well, tell me more about yourself. Well, it's the same thing. This is my Lord. He's my King. He's my best friend. And so I want to know more about him. And when I read the Word, and it says, and he would walk up early in the morning and went up on the mountain. It's like, I want to know, which mountain was it, Lord? And so we go to the Sea of Galilee and we're like looking for that mountain. Lord, which mountain did you go to? I want to go to that mountain too, because I love you. And so it's a love relationship and not a forceful relationship. Oh, I have to do this. I have to learn about things or history. It just comes natural. The best way I could describe it.
That is a beautiful story and testimony of God's grace in your lives. And I appreciate you sharing that. At Sergio and Rhoda in Israel. You can search for them on YouTube. They're all over YouTube. And you can also go to snisrael.com. That's snisrael.com. You can check it out there and you can get more information about what they are doing there in Israel. I just want to encourage you, follow them. They are so dedicated to the Word of God. They're going to bring you to places in Israel that you've never been before. So please check that out. That's the Middle East Report, and I just want to thank you for listening today. Get a podcast of the show wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all the major podcast platforms out there. Search for the Middle East Report, follow me, and you can also go to afr.net. I'm John Riley.